All right, it's 7 o'clock, time to begin our Bible class this evening. We're going to ask Pete to lead us in prayer before we begin.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you blessed us with. Thank you especially for freedom and being able to come together and gather with our brothers and sisters and study your word, worship you, sing songs, praise. Lord, we pray that everything that's done smelling aroma to you. Help us to study the songs that Brad is going to be going through with us, and help us to look into the inside and the emotions of some of these writers and hear inspired word, and help us to apply these things to our lives and think about how we can praise you more continually.
Have a good crowd tonight. We have some visitors. We're thankful that you've taken time out of your week to study God's Word with us. We have a little bit left to wrap up from Lesson 3 last week. It won't take us very long, but I do want to finish Lesson 3 before we get into our study of our praise to the Lord in Lesson 4. And it would be a good transition anyway, from prayer to praise. We actually have spent the last 2 weeks studying about prayer, specifically about God answering our prayers, and looking at the book of Psalms. Last week, I think we wrapped up with about number 9, and we're not going to specifically cover the last few questions there. I just kind of wanted to summarize our lesson from last week. So, to kind of catch us up to speed from last week, under what circumstances should we pray? These are some of the situations that we talked about for the past 2 weeks. When we're thankful, when we need courage or boldness, we looked at that. When we're anxious, we talked about that toward the end of our study last week. When we need help understanding and doing God's will. When we need guidance, certainly we know who our ultimate guide should be. And then, I think a good concluding passage for our study on prayer is Psalm 62 and verse 8 that you see there. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So we can have that confidence that God is there. We know that He desires to answer our prayers. He has established that avenue for us to go to Him, to bring our petitions before Him, to cast our cares on Him. And He is able and willing answer those and to be our refuge. Any other thoughts on the topic of prayer from last week before we move into Lesson 4? Absolutely, yeah. That's not an all-inclusive list by any means, and that's one that definitely should be on there. If we're going to highlight when to pray, that definitely needs to be on there. We talked about praying for forgiveness of our sins last week and how sin can actually hinder our prayers to God. So thank you for pointing that out. Anything else? All right. So lesson 4 on praise. Certainly a lot in the book of Psalms on praise. Just passage after passage after passage on praise. So let me start with this question. What is praise? In your own words, how would you describe praise? And I'm not necessarily limiting this to God. This can be praise of anyone or anything. What is it? State the virtues of someone or something, okay.
Express appreciation for good things that they have done.
All right. So it's a way of giving thanks or appreciate or saying our, giving our appreciation. Yes. Are there any other aspects of praise? Very good. So we're elevating someone, we're honor, giving honor, glorifying them, giving them some acknowledgement or recognition. We're also kind of putting the spotlight on them, right? We're shining, putting the light on their attributes instead of ours when we're giving praise. So let's think about all these descriptions of praise and ways we praise as we go through our study this evening. Isn't it natural for humans to praise what we love and enjoy? What's the expression we often use? We're singing his or her praises, right? Or we're singing some things praises. York may sing the praises of a new pair of running shoes because they're so great. They're, you know, they're comfortable, they're durable. I may sing the praises of a new restaurant in town because, hey, I want you to try it out. The food is so good. you know, hopefully we sing the praises of our wives as husbands. And we do that, again, because we enjoy what we're talking about. We are showing approval of it. We're speaking highly of it. We're giving recognition to that person or to that subject, whatever topic we're talking about. And it's oftentimes a natural reaction, right? You know, we may rave about a meal at a restaurant when, you know, it's second nature. We don't even think about it. And I think back to the lame man in Acts chapter 3 after being healed by Peter there. What did he do after being healed? Walked, leaped, and praised God there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 8. And to me, I get a sense of that was a natural reaction for him from being healed, that I'm going to praise God for this great thing that has happened to me. Which brings me to another point about praise, and that's that praise puts credit where it belongs, right? The lame man was giving credit to God, not Peter. He's giving credit to God. When we praise God, you know, we're giving credit where it belongs. If I praise Jana for an excellent meal that she's cooked, it's not because I cooked that meal, it's because she cooked that meal. So there's a quote that I wanted to read from a gentleman named John Piper. Now, the only thing I know about him is that he is a denominational preacher. I don't endorse any of his teachings, writings, or anything else, but I like this quote. "We praise what we enjoy because the delight is incomplete until it is expressed in praise. If we were not allowed to speak of what we value and celebrate, or if we were not allowed to speak of what we value and celebrate what we love and praise what we admire, our joy would not be full." So in other words, we need for our own benefit to praise, right? And I think that goes back to that natural reaction that for us to do that. So in what ways can we offer praise to God? Because we know, obviously, that's the important topic, praising the Lord, not praising a restaurant or anything else or anyone else. It's praising God. So in what ways can we praise God?
With a humble heart.
With a humble heart, okay. Much wrapped up my slide right there, Chad. So we can see it. We can praise God by singing. Psalm 47 and verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. We see that similar thought repeated throughout the Psalms. By prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 24, we see a prayer from Moses there. He has just been told that he's not going to be able to enter the promised land. "O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds?" Now, Moses didn't use the word praise in that prayer, but isn't that whole prayer praise? I mean, the object of that prayer is praising the greatness of God, His mighty hand. And Brian makes an excellent point there. I think it would be beneficial all for at times to dedicate prayers just to praise. And by our conduct. Philippians chapter 1 verse 11 says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, or by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." So, by the way that we live our life, our fruits, we can praise God. Right. If it's just with our lips, it's not going to be sufficient praise, is it? We have to live it as well. Bob, did you have anything? That's not... So going back to this singing, has anyone notice a great lack of something in the past year in our assembly? How about that first Sunday night singing? I've missed it a whole bunch. We sing a lot. You know, that first Sunday we dedicated as a service of song, of singing praises to God. We haven't been able to do that because of circumstances outside of our control, but it's something that I know I personally have greatly missed. I'm sure others of you have as well. Singing and praying, it's of great benefit to us. We're going to talk about these benefits as we go through the lesson this evening. By the way, just to give you a heads up, we're not going to, in the previous lessons, we've kind of gone through the questions and then discussed them. I'm going to change that pace a little bit, and I think we're going to cover most all the questions, but kind of in our general discussion and as we go through our slides here. So I think it was Brian that mentioned, someone had mentioned about we had to sing with do this with our whole heart or understanding, and I wanted to point that out from Psalm 47 and verse 7, where it says to sing with understanding, and in Psalm 9 and verse 1, where it says to praise God with our whole heart. We have to do this with comprehension, with all of our being. Because if we're not putting our all in it, is that going to be good enough for God? We had a lesson recently on Sunday evening about what? Lukewarmness, right? And if we're not putting all of our heart into our praise to God, we can fall into that trap of being lukewarm. Even our children can praise God, right? It's not limited to us as adults. We see an example of that in Matthew chapter 12, or Matthew chapter 21. If someone could turn there and read that for me, please. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 16. Right. So, even children can sing from a very young age. They start at 2 years old, sometimes even a little bit younger. And the classes here singing, hopefully we're starting them at even a younger age at home. Singing, they can pray at a very young age, at least attempt to pray. They can even bear fruits of righteousness to a certain degree, right? Children can praise God. But it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that we're teaching them how to do that. We don't want to leave them out to dry on praising, learning how to praise God. We need to make sure we're doing our responsibility in teaching them. And what an excellent place to go to the book of Psalms to help do that. Any thoughts on the praise of, from children here? Good point. Yeah. We can also learn that it really doesn't matter how our voice sounds, right? We're just supposed to be singing. Don't worry about if you have the most beautiful voice in the building. It's what's in our heart that's acceptable to God. Carrie? Remember that quote about we praise what we enjoy and we praise what makes us joyful. If we're not praising God, not only are we not fulfilling a command, but what does that show in our heart? We're not displaying the love of God that He would want us to have, that He wants us to have for Him. If we're overjoyed by the thought of God being our Heavenly Father, our Creator, we're going to sing. It's going to be that natural reaction. It's more than an emotion. We're going to talk about a little bit about that. It's more than an emotion, but it is a natural reaction that. We're not seeing that in ourselves. We need to do some serious self-evaluation. And again, not only here, but at home, in our car, even if it's a public place, we need to be praising God. Any other thoughts? All right, so I wanted to take a look at these two passages. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. And then Psalm 33, and verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. So looking at that passage from Psalm 147, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. So I think that begs the question, from whom is it good? For whom is it good to sing praises to God? The one singing the praises? So, me, right? Josh?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be for us. God is the one who brings in, because He needs to hear how great He is. We need to hear how great He is.
Very good. So it's good for me. It's good for you. It's whoever is doing the praising. It's also good for our brethren. This was mentioned by someone just a little while ago. We're to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So in our singing, in our praising, we're teaching each other. So we're benefiting each other. Okay, so in what ways is it good? What other, Bob?
In giving praise, it's an expression of joy. Like, you can say in this prayer, the emotions of the writers of these psalms are filled with emotion. And when we praise God through song and prayer, and the way we represent ourselves as a
we better take joy in singing praise to God here on this earth, because we better take joy in it, and it better be good. It better be beautiful. It better be pleasant to us here, because we're going to be doing a lot of it in heaven, right? We're going to be doing a lot of singing and praising. Read the book of Revelation.
The verse there teaches and admonishes us. I was teaching a voice class one time, and we were singing the song, "It's a Beautiful Life." A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done. And I don't know how many times I've sung that, but for some reason, in that voice class, that just struck me. That, you know, we don't have long, and we're going to have to give an account. So we can teach ourselves, we can teach others through these songs, and remind us of how short this life is.
Pete?
Along those lines, I was looking at reminding me of Acts 16:25 when Paul and Silas are in jail. I think about prayers of
God in everything. We should be. And we're here to help one another do that.
It's going to be... Do you think it's going to be a hindrance to the spread of the gospel if we're not displaying praise as we should?
Yeah, who wants to be a part of that? Yeah. I mean, that's impressive.
They won't believe you.
Yeah. I mean, who would want a part of that, right? I mean, and we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go along, but our praise is used to help spread the gospel. We need to remember that we don't praise God for the circumstances that we happen to find ourselves in. We praise God for who He is. We're going to look at some of those characteristics in a moment. I think we talked about this. In what ways is it good to praise? It brings gladness and joy. It helps keep us humble. I think King Nebuchadnezzar is a great example of this. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34, I want to take a moment to look at this. Daniel chapter 4, if someone could just read that for me. Daniel 4 and verse 34. What had just happened to Nebuchadnezzar? That's right. He had been humbled for his pride. And here he is in his praise to God there in verse 34. He's honoring God. He's recognizing that his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. Not mine now, not me, not Nebuchadnezzar's, but God's. So it certainly helps keep us humble. So Joshua, I think, mentioned this, but does God need our praise? God doesn't need our praise, but He does command it, right? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. I'll read that. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So there's a command there to offer praise. Also in Romans chapter 15 and verse 11. I'll read that one as well. Romans 15 and verse 11. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. So again, there's a command to praise the Lord. God's plan of redemption was not only to save man, but also to bring praise to the glory of God. And I'm not taking credit for that thought there. That came straight from your book, but I wanted to make sure we discussed that. His plan of redemption was not only to save us, but to bring praise to the glory of God. Let's look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, and if someone would read verses 3 through 14 for me.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing.
So, again, God doesn't need our praise, but He commands it and set that plan in place from the very beginning, that plan of redemption to praise His glory.
Brett, just thinking about the, you know, other benefits to us, and then perhaps it's already been mentioned, but think about the effect it has on our conduct. For example, here's a husband. He's continually praising God for the gift of the son. He's praising the son for being willing to give himself to sacrifice himself. So if I'm constantly doing that, sooner or later, that's bound to have an effect on the way I sacrifice myself for my life and for my children. Of course, that's exactly the way we're taught to do it in Ephesians chapter 5. I think about 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that section where he's encouraging the Corinthians to give as liberally as the Macedonians. Well, the very last part of that says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the gift that influences all other giving. If I'm constantly praising for him, then it's not too difficult then for me to give liberally. But it has a tremendous impact on our conduct.
All right. Thank you. All right. So I said we would talk a little bit about proclaiming the praise of God being our mission. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And also in Psalm 96 and verse 2, "Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day." So, this ties back into that excitement, that joy that we have in the Lord when we're proclaiming His praise, sharing the gospel. We need to make sure that we're displaying the right attitude and showing that excitement so that others are interested in knowing our Father. Okay, so moving on, for what should God be praised? That's right. His power, His loving kindness, His faithfulness, marvelous works. We're supposed to thank Him for those in prayer too, right? We looked at that last week. His righteousness, His word, answered prayer, for humbling Himself to consider things in the heavens and in the earth. And I do want to take a look at Psalm 113 there. Psalm 113, beginning in verse 1. "Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth." So we need to praise God for Him humbling Himself, being so much higher than even the heavens, so much higher than the heavens and the earth, and humbling Himself to consider us. Praise Him for His wonderful creation. Again, including us. All right, so any additional things there? We said A to Z, so I think that covers pretty much everything. But any specific points anyone wanted to mention? Joshua?
I think it was holiness. Isaiah 6, you know, the seraphim is like holy, holy, holy. And really that is what characterizes all of His qualities. They're other. He's in a category of His own.
Yes. Yes. All right, so how often should we praise God? Well, I've listed some passages up there that we don't have time this evening to read, but the key phrases are there in bullet points from those passages. Forever, at all times, continually, as long as I live. So I think we get the idea there that this would include all time, you know, all the time. Good times, bad times, times of sorrow, times of despair, times of joy. Again, our praise to God doesn't depend on our circumstances. Our praise to God should be because of His holiness. So, does this sound familiar? Praise and our prayer. It's all related, right? It's a continuing process. Continual praise, continual prayer to God. Exactly. All right, where should we praise God? We've really already talked about this. In our assemblies, in our homes, out in public, everywhere. Everywhere we go, we should be praising God. Whether it's singing, prayer, and at least in our conduct by our fruits of righteousness. So a passage that I wanted to conclude with here, and we have a minute for another comment if someone has one, but let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That really doesn't that sum it up? I mean, if it's breathing, it needs to be praising the Lord for His greatness, for His holiness. Any other thoughts on our lesson on praise?
You know, Brett, we had the lesson a while back in one of our Zoom studies on, you know, fulfilling our purpose. We talked about, you know, our being God's creation. And we started out generally talking about all creation. We said that the purpose of creation is to bring praise and honor to be created. And, of course, not only have we been created in a physical sense, we're part of that new creation, of Christ. It's interesting, the very first picture we get of the new creation in that picture, what are they doing in verse 27? Praising God and having faith.
All right. Thank you very much again for your participation in all the comments.